female deities to paternal deities. And it happened almost at the same time worldwide. And there was a few speculations at that point, but the whole purpose of it was that they set up a 5 to 10 year research project based on why this happened. And there was some speculation, and there has been some proof of it in, up in the Siberian area, that the Earth was bombarded with something from outer space. They think it was iron meteorites or comets, and that it spread raw iron all over the world in lumps, which got people to looking for iron. Also, with that amount of iron, it would also start the buildup of military, because iron is so much more effective for warfare. Also, the speculation was that the female deities were supposed to be heaven-wise type beings, and there was such massive destruction from it that they fell from grace, and then immediately the male gods come up. And I would love to know what happens to this when they get all together the next time and put this all together. I don't know if we'll ever know. I'm sure if it shows what I think it is.
I think we will know. I think we're going to develop new kinds of anthropology and new kinds of research that are based on what Carl Jung predicted, which was someday we'd be able to have scientific methods and tools to describe what's now called psychic phenomena. And out of that we'll have something akin to time machines. We will have like psychic anthropology, where we will be able to read the stories of certain artifacts. They will sort of sing to us or tell us about who owned them and so forth.
Well, it's interesting. You see, a lot of my research into this, believe it or not, is based on a lot of my research in past lives.
Great.
Now that you've opened that area.
Yeah. Well, here's an example of how you can apply. Here's where I think is going to be the first application of psychic tool to research. You know, like Kirlian photography, where you can supposedly see auras, or other photography where you can see body warmth, a case of where it touched something or whatever. Well, say you take an object like a plain cup, and this cup right here. All right. Now, let's say this cup, plain paper cup, actually was here years ago. Someone who lives here has this cup on their mantelpiece. You wonder why. It means nothing to you and me. But when you find out, that cup was the last thing his lover drank before he passed on. So that cup has very high intrinsic value, spiritual value, heart value, right? So with the right type of curling type photography, you would be able to see an aura around that that implies a very high value, whereas other objects in the room would not have that aura around it because it is projected to greater or lesser degree depending upon the emotional value that a person gives an object, right? So that way we'd be able to apply that type of photography, say, to finding a crime that was committed or to finding a missing object or person by what he or she touched. Also the value of different items to, say, ancient cultures and things like that. That will be the first application of psychic phenomena as a real scientific measurement and tool.
Well, it already exists in a form. I one time was looking at the idea, what makes an antique valuable? But I really wasn't researching that area. That just come up because I was researching what is affinity.
Affinity.
Now, affinity is very closely related to what we call beauty or aesthetics. Okay? If there is an object which a person or persons aesthetically like it and have great affinity for it, they will preserve it. So anything that's considered an antique is most always something that has had a tremendous amount of affinity for it, which continues its existence. They're directly correlated. Of course, there's also some antiques that are just so ugly that they've been put off someplace and haven't been no attention paid to them whatsoever.
Right. Right.
But that's kind of the opposite side of the coin.
Right. Some of those have been resurrected and appreciated when they weren't.
Well, they're appreciated because they existed so long.
Not because they're so ugly. And
yeah.
There's also collectibles. They aren't quite antiques, but have that affinity.
Right. So a lot of furniture is that way. It's just
I think from the 50s, Populux furniture and styles that have a certain nostalgic value and memory, so there's a kind of affinity there. They're not technically antiques yet.
But most antiques are something that's been admired as very beautiful.
Yeah.
So the aesthetics and affinity come into there, or they wouldn't continue to exist through a time stream.
There was some woman, either a religious woman or a political writer, what is heaven? And she said, heaven is beauty. I think it was Dorothy Day.
That has been quite common throughout history, the aesthetics and beauty in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a TV show yesterday, which is really weird, and of course I don't know the name of it, but it's about a man, a woman, supposedly, and her daughter, supposedly, come to Earth as visitors mm-hmm. on a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they come here, we find out as the movie goes on, is there is only beauty where they live. There is no violence.
Mm-hmm.
So they come to this planet.
Well, I'm glad that you don't see beauty in violence and they'd be in a mess.
Well, they did in a way. What they would do is go out and get some mugger or something to attack them.
Oh.
And then just tear him all to pieces. Take pictures of it as their family album. It was a strange film.
Yeah.
Twice now I've seen it. And it was just a strange film because she looked like Doris Day or something, you know. And he was kind of pot-bellied, and both of them just looked totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they
heteros.
Yeah, well, they told their daughter to wait to to sort of really get along in the world and keep your mouth shut and your legs open. You know, they were trying to get this black guy to make love to her because she was not enjoying her vacation.
Right. Uh-huh.
So the whole thing was just a strange twist of the whole thing. They go out and get these muggers to try to mug them or what have you, or she'd lay in the street and they were going to rape her, and of course mm-hmm. by the time they finished there was nothing left other than the pieces, you know.
So it was more just showing the absurdity of our society.
It was, yeah.
Science fiction is often used.
And then the reporters were asking people what they thought about this, and somebody said, well, a bunch of vigilantes is doing a damn good job, you know. And they interviewed several people that way, and this one old lady said, I think these people can kill, should have had their day in court, etc. Bang, a little orange hits her on the back of the head and everybody's booing, you know.
Is there another show that I can't get because I don't have cable, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it was really still an absorb, you know, as you say, the mm-hmm. absorption.
What?
Absurdity.
Absurdity. Yeah.
Of our life. So anyway, that's what I've been working on, trying to put this into words about history, how it's come into history. A friend of mine in Austria has been looking at mass consciousness,
mm-hmm.
how something gets into the mass consciousness and starts taking over, and it's interesting what she has written on that. Falls directly into what I'm saying.
Is she acquainted with Teilhard de Chardin and his concept of the noosphere?
Of what?
The noosphere.
No, I haven't.
Noosphere. He predicted. He was a Christian philosopher, liberal one. And he predicted that someday there would be an envelope of human consciousness called the noosphere that we could tap into. And I see that evolving where the internet is a primitive technological equivalent to acquaint us with the noosphere. I'm sure she is, if she's well-read, he's very important on that, those kinds of concepts of mass consciousness, him and Carl Jung, among several.
Well, she claims it exists now and always has.
Well, of course, so has cyberspace. Because when you are reading a story to someone,